Blog Talk Radio.
Talking about God's calendar of events as seen through the feast, which is the tabernacle. I think it's the tabernacle feast. And we've got Bill and Nancy Schrupp with us, and I got my co-host Robert Hager also here. How you doing, Robert?
Hey, Stan. I'm doing great. How's Bill and Nancy doing tonight?
How y'all
doing?
We're
doing great.
Glad to be with you.
Glad to have y'all with us. And before we start this interview and start talking about this, I'm going to ask Bill to go ahead and blow his horn there just to start it off, get all going good there.
I sure will.
There you go.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen, amen. That sounds just like from out there in Israel. Sounds like something from Israel going on there. Amen.
It's a great sound, the shofar. It just touches some place way down deep inside that brings the spirit up. I love blowing the shofar.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, everybody knows that, you know, we had the blood moon this morning, that there's a few people got to see and some people didn't get to see. And I'm gonna stop right here. I'm going to let Robert take over from here and start talking to Nancy and Bill. Go ahead, man.
Hey, guys. I wanted to just get you to expound tonight on the feast. And really tell the audience something about the feast and the significance to what they mean in our lives today.
Well, amen. First of all, I want to greet everybody who's listening in the wonderful name of Yeshua HaMashiach Adonai, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. There's a whole lot to cover, and certainly tonight there's no way we can do it all in an hour. We couldn't do it all in 1,000 hours. So we'll just do whatever we can, and hopefully my desire is that folks would just catch the fire, and then they would go ahead and begin to research on their own and look into this. There is so much information available that there's really no reason that any Christian can't find all the information they need on the things we'll be talking about tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, well, today is the Feast of Tabernacles. We had we had the blood moon take place today, the new moon, which means it's the first day of the month. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome. Well, we've got so many awesome signs taking place before us right now, and I believe that the Lord is getting us prepared and telling us that we need to be watching and aware.
Well, he is. And there's been a lot of distortion, a lot of misunderstanding about it. The church has really missed out on not understanding not only the feasts, but the entire Hebraic foundation and roots of the church. We have really missed out on a great blessing, lots of knowledge, lots of wisdom, prophecy. It's like we've just discarded it for some reason, but God in his wisdom is starting to bring it back. We're seeing it more and more. More people are interested. More people are asking questions. There just seems to be an eagerness to find out not only about the feasts, but the Hebraic roots in general.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Robert, a while ago when we were talking about this, I forgot about it's going to be the Feast of the Tabernacle, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of it and told me. Before I started the show, I was like, that's what it is. You know?
Yeah.
But it's, this here is an awesome topic for us to be talking about that tonight, because it's all over the news. Sid Roth on his show, he just interviewed a Jewish guy talking about this, and he was talking about 9/11. It hit on a feast day too when 9/11 hit, and it was just a lot of awesome things that hit during history that it landed on a Feast of a Tabernacle date, which is pretty awesome. I'm gonna stop there and let Robert take off from there.
Well, I have been interested, just like you just mentioned, Bill. I'm one of those who has become so interested in this, because now, I mean, I dream. I every time I read the Word of God, I'm looking for something to point me in the direction to know. I'm watching and I'm praying like Jesus commanded us to do, and I'm interested in knowing everything that I can know about what's taking place so I can share it with everybody else. And that's why I thought it was so exciting to have you guys on tonight, let y'all give us a rundown about what information you know. Let's start off by just going over, say, the first four, I believe, have been fulfilled. Can you give us just a little bit on what those feasts are and how that they are fulfilled in our lives today?
Well, sure. But let me start off by saying this. Your passion is wonderful. I can hear it in your voice. And I know that feeling very well. Now, Robert, you got to be careful, because once this thing gets in you, it just demands to be fed. It is just an awesome desire to learn these things. It started with me 25, 30 years ago. When I first mm-hmm. became a Christian, I was in Kingsville, Texas, and I started listening to a gentleman called Dr. Charles Weber on the mm-hmm. Radio West Church. And he began talking about these things before there was a Hebraic movement, before any of this stuff was discussed. And it got deep down inside my soul, and I have never let it go. It has been just growing and growing and growing. So I know that desire, and I just pray that the folks that are listening, that the flame would start in them, and they would get that same desire I hear in your voice.
Amen.
Let me just say this. The church is in a difficult situation. We have left the Hebraic root. God wants to bring that back. He is opening up the ancient gates. And here is one of the difficulties. The church has been Romanized by the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
The church has been under the influence of the Greeks, and it's been Hellenized.
Mm-hmm.
Then the church moved over to Europe, and it's been Europeanized.
Mm-hmm.
Then each one of those countries added their own flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Then the church was Americanized.
Mm-hmm.
Every different culture added their own change, except the one that actually God had chosen himself. And that
mm-hmm.
was the Hebraic culture. We have
mm-hmm.
completely abandoned the roots of the early church. The early church
mm-hmm.
was Hebraic. They celebrated the feasts. They
mm-hmm.
were... their praise and their worship was Hebraic.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they did was based on that culture. And I
mm-hmm.
believe that God raised that culture up to show us some things that you just can't get in any culture. Now, don't
yeah.
get me wrong. I'm not Jewish, and I wasn't raised in that culture. But that's the
yeah.
one God gave us. That's the culture He, I believe, from the bottom of my heart, wants the church to be involved in.
Yes.
There are basically seven feasts. Let me just go over them real quickly, and then we can deal with the first three. Because there's so much to cover here, you'll have to just stop me, interject, jump in anytime, because there is a lot to cover.
Okay.
There are three spring feasts, there is one summer feast, and then there are three fall feasts. There
mm-hmm.
are none in the winter whatsoever. The three spring feasts are Passover, which is the one most Christians are normally understanding. They know that one probably the best.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second feast is called Unleavened Bread.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third feast of the spring feast is the Feast of First Fruit.
Mm.
Then some time passes, and there is the Feast of Pentecost, which is
mm-hmm.
probably another feast that most Christians are used to reading the book of Acts. They know about Pentecost to some degree.
Yes.
Then the three fall feasts are the Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah. That
mm-hmm.
is my favorite feast. If I get a chance to tell you why, that's the one I'm really excited about more than any of the other feasts.
Okay.
After that is the Day of Atonement.
Uh-huh.
And finally, the last feast, which we are now in tonight, is the Feast
yeah.
of Tabernacles.
Mm. Amen.
Each one represents something a little bit different.
Okay.
Keeping the Passover reminds us that God is a forgiver of sin who
mm-hmm.
grants us eternal life in his kingdom through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a
mm-hmm.
very simplistic definition.
Yeah.
I could speak for months on Passover alone.
Right.
Unleavened bread is our observance of the days of unleavened bread. Help us realize our crucial need for Jesus, helping to overcome our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Feast of First Fruits reminds us of the risen Lord and why we are risen with him in the newness of life.
Mm-hmm.
See, we ourselves are the first fruits of God. We
mm-hmm.
that have been saved are his fruit. And and we not only celebrate the first fruits, but we are the first fruits.
Amen.
These were the spring feasts. These were the feasts that were fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled those feasts at his crucifixion. He was crucified, put on the cross on the day of Passover. Now, our folks are probably familiar with Passover. That's where the Jewish people were being released from Egypt by God, and they were told to kill a lamb, take the blood, and put it on the doorposts of their house so that the death angel would pass over them. So that was a picture of Christ hanging on the cross, giving his life, shedding his blood. Unleavened bread was where the Jewish people would search their house, find any food product that had leaven in it, and would have to remove it from the house. Leaven is a type of sin. Throughout the Bible, it is typified as sin because just a little leaven, a little sin, gets through the whole loaf, just like sin gets through our bodies.
Yeah.
And so he was buried on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that shows us that how he not only saved us, but he separated us and took our sins from us onto himself. And so there is no more leaven in a saved person.
Amen.
Then the Feast of First Fruits is when he was resurrected. And he fulfilled that one. And we, too, are risen with Lord in the newness of life, and like I said, we become the first fruits of God. Those are all been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled them at his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I'll stop there and allow you to jump in any questions that you might have.
That's absolutely beautiful. I like what you just said about the unleavened bread, because there are so many Christians out there that are stuck and they can't see beyond their last failure to see that Jesus has cleansed us and made us righteous and made us holy. John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, if you be in Christ, you are not a sinner. So I believe that that is an awesome revelation right there for our listeners to grab a hold of and just recognize that Jesus completely took it away. He separated us, and he made us right. That is awesome. Praise God.
That's awesome.
And whether our listeners... Go ahead.
Yeah, it's awesome to see that, you know, that the Christians, you know, as an everyday Christian, we don't really realize that the Jewish part of Jesus, we always look at Jesus as the, you know, we just worship him and we kind of drop his Jewish past. But, you know, Jesus came for the Jewish people as the world, but he came just to save his people. And we forget about his people and about their traditions. And, you know, the more we know about the Jewish people, the more we know about Jesus, too, that we try to forget, you know, his upbringings and stuff. And this here kind of just enlightens us and let us know a little bit more about what Jesus was going through in his time when he was still on earth, the Passovers and all this stuff, and what all this means for the Christians and where we are now and what the Passover is helping us. And it's just enlightening just to see, just listening to you telling about this. It's just kind of blowing my mind and just opened my eyes to a lot of things. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, what I realized sometimes back is whether people understand these first three feasts or not, each person actually goes through them whether they like it or not. For instance, when we get saved, we celebrate Passover. The blood is applied to our life.
That's
so
right.
Each person who comes to the Lord, whether they know it or not, whether they understand it or not, actually has a Passover for themselves. Then
Amen.
The next step is they are removed from sin. And the Bible says that. We are crucified with Christ, and he has taken our sin from us. We are separated. We are separated onto God. So actually, each person who comes to the Lord has the blood applied at Passover, and then they are separated through the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then the next one is they also celebrate first fruits, because the Bible says that we Christians are the first fruits and that we are risen with Christ in the newness of life. And so whether they realize it or not, every time someone comes to the Lord, they are also completing these three feasts. Whether they understand it or not, they're going through it. I find that absolutely marvelous.
And one of the wonderful things about celebrating these feasts is that it causes us to remember that. You know, sometimes we get caught up in all of the activities, but God set aside these appointed times so that we would take the time to remember all the awesome things that he's done for us.
Amen. Amen. That's
beautiful. You know, the incredible thing that our listeners need to realize, that it took some time for me to realize, is that every book in the Bible was written by a Jew except for Dr. Luke. I mean, all of our Bible comes from Jewish people. All the prophets were Jewish. All the apostles were Jewish, once again, except for Luke. The early church was almost entirely Jewish. The apostles of the early church celebrated the feast. Christ came as a Jew. He lived as a Jew. He observed all the Hebraic holidays. He obeyed all the laws. He lived in a Jewish country. He died a Jew. He was buried a Jew. He followed the Jewish laws. He was resurrected as a Jew. And he's coming back as a Jew to a Jewish land and a Jewish city onto a Jewish throne. Yet the church knows very little about any of this. I find it absolutely incredible that how we have ignored all of this, and we have just totally missed out on all the wonderful things the Jewish people, the Hebraic movement, and I'm not talking about being a Jew. I'm a Gentile. I can't be a Jew. But this is not meant just for the Jew. This is meant for the Gentiles, the Jew, and all people. It even says that he's going to sit on the throne of David. He's coming back as a king of the Jews, going to sit on a Jewish throne throughout all of time, and that is absolutely incredible.
Amen. It is.
Amen.
Amen. And we get to share it with him. Hallelujah. He's the head and we're the body. Woo.
Amen.
Part of the feast of the Lord. They are not the feast of the Jews. Leviticus makes that clear.
Yes.
And we as Gentiles have been adopted into the family. And as such, we get to help celebrate all of the family traditions, just like a natural child that's adopted in a family, they would celebrate all the birthdays and all of the holidays of that family. We have the privilege as Gentiles to celebrate the feast of the Lord with our Jewish brethren.
Amen.
Amen.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
I think some of the complications come when people look at the feasts. They really don't understand the word feast. We in America, when we think of feast, we think of a giant banquet and eating all kind of food. Now, some of these holidays, you literally did that. Passover, you have a huge meal celebrating Passover. Mm-hmm. But that word feast comes literally out of Genesis 1:14. Let me read that. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament and of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years." Mm-hmm. Now, just like we have this blood moon, God said that he put the stars and the moon and everything in there for signs. That word sign is the Hebraic root oots, and it literally means signals. And God is sending us signals through these feasts, through the Hebraic teachings, through the Jewish people. He has been sending us signals year after year after year after year, telling us of what's going to come, warning us, trying to show us his calendar, where he is and what he's doing. And that word season, that's another interesting word. It is the Hebrew word moeb. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get the word feast from. And it really doesn't mean feast. It means appointed times or rehearsals. And so each one of these feasts are appointed times by God, not just to the Jewish people, but to everybody to rehearse, to keep into remembrance what God has done, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. He don't want us to forget. For 2,100 years, people have been practicing these feasts. You think by now, brother, we would get the signal?
You'd think we would. Yes.
And yet, yet many people in the church have very little knowledge of the Hebraicness of Jesus, the Jewishness of Jesus, the feasts, and all how they're connected with the church. And they are connected with the church. And so is the nation of Israel connected with the church. We cannot be separated. And there's a lot of people who would like to do that. But they're going to find themselves in a precarious situation when things start to hit the fan.
Yes. Yes. I stand
now, Bill,
with them. Go ahead. Go ahead, Stan.
Now, Bill, Nancy, tell us about the blue moon and all this. About, is this actually like a representation of like an appointment with God? It's like the Jewish people and their appointment they have with God himself. Is it something like that?
Well, that's conjecture. A lot of people have a lot of different opinions about that. The blood moon is definitely mentioned in the Bible. The thing is, what one understands about it, it is really, really difficult to try to explain the blood moon when people don't have a understanding of the feasts and the Hebraic. It's kind of like trying to describe a forest when you're only looking at one tree.
Mm-hmm.
And these supernatural events that we read in the Bible, a lot of people just pick them out and they try to figure out what they're saying, and it's really difficult without a foundation of all the feasts, because they're all connected, they all belong together. But to answer your question the best way I can, the blood moons, basically, yes, they're a signal to the nation of Israel. But we are so connected to Israel nowadays with what's going on over there. If trouble hits there, it hits the world. And so we can't separate ourselves from that any longer. 300 years ago, no problem. 100 years ago, no problem. 70 years ago, no problem. But today, we are so linked, and the whole world is so linked, what happens over there, that no matter what it is, hey, we're connected to it.
I believe it has great prophetic significance. If you look at the past two, the one that was in 48 and then the one in 67, the first one right after that was the restoration of the land of Israel. 67, there was the restoration of Jerusalem, the capital. And many people believe that this tetrad, these four blood moons, will signal the restoration of the temple, that Israelis will actually regain the Temple Mount and be able to rebuild the temple. So I think it has great prophetic significance for both the Jews and Christians.
Excuse me, Nancy. That was awesome. Okay. I've been sitting here for the past couple weeks trying to piece together in just my own mind with what I, a little bit I know right now, and you just like hit a, I mean, it was like a bell went off when you said that. Okay, so first, 48, the land was restored. 67, the holy city Jerusalem was restored, and people think, or you have some information that points towards the Temple Mount being restored?
You got it. That's,
that's
how it runs, that they first got the land, 1948, flood moons. Then they got the city, Jerusalem, 1967, 1968, flood moons. So yes. The next thing of events, if you read the Bible, would be the Temple Mount and the restoration of the temple, which would be these blood moons. Now, whether or not that's going to be, remember, we also got some coming up in 2015. I'm not making any predictions, but that would seem to be right in line. And if that's true, we are in for some exciting, exciting times. These are the most exciting times for Christians to be alive than there ever was. The prophets only dreamed about seeing the things we are about to see. We're blessed to be in these last days. Now, I know a lot of people would rather be someplace else, but this is a wonderful time to see the things we're about to see. I'm excited. I'm anxious for it. And all I can say is, come, Jesus, come.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
I'm ready to blow my shofar again.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's awesome.
Hallelujah. That's absolutely beautiful. That's beautiful. I mean, to tell you, I have been so excited because I knew the Holy Spirit was going to speak through you guys tonight, and he just did. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Man.
You guys are excited over there, I can tell.
Can you tell? I'm crying. Oh,
amen.
Praise the Lord. This is beautiful.
Now, I know back when all this stuff started.
All Christians get to see the fulfillment of some of the feasts in their life, but I believe that we, in this last generation, are the ones that will see the fulfillment of the last three. And that's why it's such a great privilege and such a great honor, and we have such a great responsibility in these last days.
Amen. 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 I just told my wife and son this tonight, what you just said. The Lord revealed that to me earlier tonight, that we are living in such an awesome time. The Spirit of God told me 2 months ago that the last days, we're so close to the end, the last day, that we're going to get to see the glory revealed. Every time you turn around, something's going to happen here, something's going to happen there. And before you can turn around and do something, something else is going to happen. The glory of God is going to be revealed in our lives like never before. It's going to be the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God like never before. We're going to see some awesome things take place. What they experienced on the day of Pentecost is going to be like a couple drops of water in the bucket compared to what the Holy Spirit is getting ready to do in the lives of his people today. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, I never could figure out, of all the people that have lived through all the history of the world from the very beginning to now, of all the people God could have chosen to live in the last days to see these awesome things, how in the world did he choose me? I mean, what an awesome privilege. How did God pick you and me and this generation to see these last times? You know, the Bible says he holds the best for last. Somehow you and I got in here to see the very best. I don't know how. I look at my own life and just don't know how the Lord picks. But what a privilege we have to live in these last days. What an awesome honor.
Amen.
I know that there's one thing that I was listening to the Word of God on MP3 today. I listened to it at work quite a bit. And I was listening to the book of Acts, and you know, on back when the disciples were starting the original church, a lot of the religions, like the Jewish faith and all that, they were so hardcore with so many regions of the country that it was hard to really break in with the Christian with our Christian religion. They had a hard time, but now it's so open to everything that it's a little bit easier to have things to happen now than it would be back in those times, because they was really hardcore with everything that they did. You had to believe exactly how they did. If you didn't, you got crucified, or you was put to death, or you was stoned. Nowadays, it don't really happen like that, you know. But it's like things are opening up for us, and it's just it's just things kind of, you know, it's kind of like it's like a nest opened up for things to just to happen. It's just like it's the playground or the what do you want to call it, the chessboard is prepared now for this stuff to start. And what was really amazing to me, back a couple of years, I kept on hearing things about, you know, the end of the world, revelations, and all this stuff. And, you know, you take everything with a grain of salt. And I got tired of hearing what people were saying. I just asked the Holy Spirit one day. I said, Holy Spirit, I said, Lord, I said, when is this stuff going to happen? And, you know, all this and that. And he didn't really give me a date or anything like it. He never would, but he said, 2015, just look for that. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just keep that in my mind for something like that to happen. And I didn't really study the blood moons that much. I mean, I've heard about it in the Bible and stuff like that. But since y'all, I mean, we're now running into the blood moons, it kind of opened things up to let us see what's going on. And, you know, my eyes are opening up like, wow, that's what that meant. But it's just like not everything's revealed. It's like a little bit's revealed at a time for us. And people really, like, y'all know this feast real good. It kind of, you know, opens the book, let us see what's going on. And it's just all coming together here with y'all.
Well, that is actually one of the themes, the thing you're just talking about, of the Feast of Tabernacles that we're now in. One of the other names for the Feast of Tabernacles was the Feast of the Ingathering. These feasts circulated around their harvest. They were Gregorian people, and they grew crops, and the Feast of Tabernacles came during the fall that was also known as the latter rain. Israel has two growing seasons. They have one in the spring, and they have one in the fall. And the greatest harvest was in the fall. That's when they gathered the fruit. That's when they gathered the olives. That's when they gathered the grapes. And it was the greatest of the harvests than the spring. In the springtime, they gathered the wheat and the barley. But the latter rains came, and they were much, much heavier. And they really watered the ground good. And so it was called the Feast of the Ingathering. And that's exactly what God's doing. He is gathering together people in these last days, and he is pouring out his rain upon people. There's going to be such great harvest, and the Bible says that the harvest in the end will be greater than the harvest in the beginning, talking about the harvest of the springtime and the latter rains. And it is a time of celebration. It is a time of dance. I mean, this Feast of Tabernacles is a fun feast. I mean, it is a time for shouting and joy. It is a time to reap the harvest. It is a time when we're looking for the great outpouring and the ingathering that God's going to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's also a type of us tabernacling with Christ, of his return and the millennial reign, where he is actually physically here and we actually tabernacle with him.
Say that again, sister. Say that again.
The Feast of Tabernacles is a type and a shadow of the millennial reign of Christ, where he is physically reigning from Jerusalem. He is tabernacling with us on earth. And that's why it's such a time of joy and celebration, is because finally, you know, we're not separated with him in heaven and us here. We're together.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I believe that God has saved the special anointing of his finest anointing for this last day.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to face some things that are very difficult, but he has equipped us to stand and to be victorious.
There are some real challenges coming to the church. One of the other themes about the Feast of Tabernacles is that they were required by God to build these little booths, these sukkahs. That's what a tabernacle is, a little tent. And for 40 years, the children of Israel wandered around the desert, and they lived in these tents, these little sukkahs, these little tabernacles, and they were in constant transition. They would stay here for a while, there for a while. In this last season of Tabernacles, that's what the church is going through, a time of transition. We go to a different church almost every other Sunday. We meet here in our house on Saturday night, a small group of us. Then we allow the Lord to tell us where to go on Sunday. And every Sunday we're in a different church, blessing them in whatever way we can. But we have noticed that there is a lot of confusion, a lot of people in transition. They don't know what to expect. They don't know what's coming. It is just amazing how much transition people are in. And some are going to do better than others, but the ones that are going to do really, really good, I believe, are those that understand these feasts, the Hebraic roots of our faith. They're going to get a much, much better picture than anybody else.
And that, there's a lot of people that's denying all of it too. They don't want to comprehend it at all. They're like, you know, this is just a fear factor, and it's this and it's that. But you know, you can't mess with, you know, the signs of God. I mean, it's right there in plain day. You can't miss it. I mean, it's the moon, and you totally see it. And it's and we know where we are, and it's no denying where we are. And,
well, a lot of people equate it to the Jews. They keep saying, well, all this stuff was past. It's in the Old Testament. We Christians aren't supposed to celebrate this stuff. But they really don't understand their Bible. We are commanded in the New Testament to keep these feasts. Paul commanded us to celebrate the feasts in 1 Corinthians 5:8. In 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 2, Paul told his followers, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ, and keep the traditions as I delivered them to you. What tradition? Well, he didn't mean all the little things that the Pharisees had added, but these wonderful feasts and the Hebraic roots, we're to keep that stuff. Acts 18:21, Paul said, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. So if Paul kept these feasts, and he commanded the church to keep the feast, and there are so many other New Testament scriptures about the early church doing the feasts that it would be really, really difficult to deny that the church, to some degree, now we can't do everything, we can't do the sacrifices, the temple doesn't exist, but we can honor the feasts, and we can do that part, which we should, and they will show us what's expected of us.
Brother, can I say something right there?
You can jump in any time.
Luke chapter 21, verse 29, and he spake to them in a parable. He said, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you shall see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is now at hand. What's Jesus telling us? Jesus is telling us to keep an eye on Israel. Keep an eye on the Jews. Keep an eye on what they're doing.
Yes.
Watch these people and see what God is doing in their lives. Check out their lifestyle and how that he's using them as a timekeeper, a timepiece, for us to be able to know and understand him deeper and better. Amen?
Amen. And that's how the Jews going to be won. See, they're going to look at their church, the church that understands the feasts and start operating like that, and they're going to recognize that. See, right now they don't recognize anything they see in the church. They don't see anything that reminds them of anything that they know of. But when the church starts operating in these feasts, in the Hebraic, they start knowing these things, then the Jew is going to say, aha, I recognize that. I see this. I understand that. And then along with the miracles and the prophecies, they're going to come to the Lord. And that's what the Bible says, that the church is supposed to make the Jew jealous.
Yes.
They're going to see that we have something that they have wanted for 2,500 years, and it's going to make them jealous. They're going to recognize their God in us, and they're going to come running to the Lord. That's why we need to do these things.
Amen.
That's why operating in signs and miracles is so important, because the Jewish nation was born with signs and wonders. You know, when Moses led them out, you know, with all of the signs and wonders in the desert, when they saw the rock give forth water and manna come from heaven and quails come in supernaturally, their expectation of God is that he is a supernatural God doing supernatural things. So when they look at a church that's powerless and they see none of that, there is nothing there to draw them. That's why it's important that the church operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we operate in signs, wonders, and miracles.
Amen. Amen.
Draw the
world. Amen. And on that note, is not the fourth feast also fulfilled then? The pouring out of the Holy Spirit?
You know, we're right on the same page. I'm just looking at that, and that's exactly what I wanted to bring up. We covered the first three feasts. That basically is salvation. The next thing that happens to the Christian, he is placed in the body of Christ. He is placed into the church. Pentecost comes on in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit comes down. And from then on, for the next 2,000 years, we have been celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. It is the church age. It is the time that the Holy Spirit indwells believers, which is known as the church. So right now, we're in Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to come to an end, because the feast after Pentecost is Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the trumpets, which celebrates the coming of the King. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And that's where a lot of people misunderstand, that the church age is coming to an end, the kingdom age is about to start, and that is celebrated by the next feast, which is Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of the trumpets. And a lot of people don't do transition well. So we are we are quickly coming to the close of Pentecost, and we are about to enter the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. At the beginning of the show, I said that's my most favorite feast. It is. It celebrates the coming of the King. It celebrates his people united, the blowing of the shofar, the passion, the power, the praise of the Hebraic, and a lot of people just don't get it.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, I would like to say, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, Peter stood up and he made this statement, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams."
And
you know what? We are in the last days, and we are at the end of the last days, just like you just said, brother. The time has come down, and we're at the end of the line. It is
the trump is getting ready to blow.
Come on, 2 days has passed.
Amen.
2 days has passed since he poured out his spirit, and the beginning of the last days was on the day of Pentecost. So here we are 2,000 years later, 2 days has passed, and we are narrowing down to where it's time to get your ears lifted to hear the trumpet. Watch, pray, and be ready for what's about to happen. That's what Jesus commanded us to do. And I praise the Lord for you guys tonight. It's going to be hard to sleep tonight. That's all I got to say.
Well, we didn't cover everything. We didn't get around to all the feasts, but I never do.
Wow. This is beautiful. Well, I'm going to let you go ahead and keep speaking. Go ahead. Dan, anybody got something to say?
Yeah, it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of awesome to really get into the feast and stuff. And, you know, I watched Sid Roth quite a bit. I've been a guest in his show and all that, and actually sit in his audience and all that stuff. It's pretty awesome. And he's really, really working on the Jewish people, trying to bring them to the Lord. And he, I can't tell you of all the things he's been doing these days, trying to set up events there to bring more Jewish people and give them a chance to accept the Lord. And I mean, it's just awesome to see, you know, a person of the Jewish faith trying to do that for the Lord. It's just awesome. And
I wish it would be more in our local churches. Yeah, it's on TV and you can hear it through the internet and you can get on websites, but there's still a tremendous absence in our local churches. They just aren't getting it. I'll tell you what the problem is. There's not enough people who understand it, who can go in and make sense of it. And I don't blame them. I mean, I want to be able to make sure that the information I'm getting is the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we do. We welcome anybody who wants to call us, who would like to invite us to their Sunday school or their church or to their home to help them understand this, to get them started. Hey, we make ourselves available. Just call us, and we'll come and do our best to help folks get all the information they possibly can get.
Amen.
It's awesome.
Thank you. Amen.
Now,
amen.
Do y'all have any local events that y'all have you'd like to plug right quick?
No, we don't really have a whole lot of events. There's groups that we go to. There's a group here in Lincolnton that holds a wonderful Passover Seder we go to every year. We go to Sid Roth's. We go to other Messianic congregations, and we participate mostly in their stuff. We meet on Saturday night, and then we go to different churches. We bring our shofars. We bring our banners. We go to these churches unannounced. We sit up front. We blow the shofar. We shout. We dance. We jump. We wave our banners. Sometimes people like it. Sometimes they don't like it. But we go and hopefully to stir some interest. And if we can just stir some interest, I believe the Lord will take over from there.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. I'm sure he is. But it's great to have people like y'all out there that's really, really bring this into the church, because, you know, the Christian church needs to see this, needs to understand Jesus more, need to understand the Jewish faith more too, because that's where we came from. And you know, you can't always cut off your roots. You got to look at your roots to see where the Messiah came from, and it kind of helps you understand who you are and who you are in Christ, and where Christ stands, and understand the whole kingdom of God too, because it all comes from that. And it's you know, God sent, you know, set up the feast for the Jewish people. He, you know, he set all these things up, and if he did that, we need to know about it, you know, and just not going by what the preacher man says up front, but by what the Bible is talking about. You know, a lot of people listen to people instead of looking at the Word of God, and that's where it's real important to look at the Word of God and study and see where these things fit in. And when you see these things, where these things fit in, and you're seeing some ministers or you know, some men of God is actually teaching this, you know, listen to them, you know, see what we need to do and how we need to get, you know, learn about this stuff. And it's always awesome to learn a little bit more about your faith. And there's a lot of people that don't really study about their faith. They just go by what, you know, is given to them, and they let it go at that. And, you know, that can be dangerous at times too, you know. But it's
I think
very awesome.
People, a lot of people they're worried somebody's going to come in and try to make them Jews.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, what I like to tell them is this: whatever Jesus is, that I am also, because I'm in his body. He is my head. He's seated in Father's presence at his right hand, and I'm right there with him.
Amen. You are a branch tied into the root, which is Israel, and there is a warning that if we reject the root, there's trouble ahead for us, and we can't do that.
No, we can't. No, we can't.
Not going to anyway. I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm going to go full speed ahead as much as I can.
Amen. And, you know, I was going to say that it wasn't by chance that you guys came the first Christian, the day that y'all came, it was a divine appointment from our Father for you to come. I just want to thank y'all for being obedient to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, His leading and guiding you there, because I know that the relationship that He has established with you and us just tonight here at this broadcast, on this broadcast, is getting ready to grow, and it's getting ready to become a mighty thing. And I'm looking forward to getting with you guys on one of your Saturday nights or something. My wife and I can come and be with you and just experience what God is doing in your life. I'm looking forward to it.
And I know we're coming close to the end. Let me just say this, if anybody's out there and they want to know more, there's a little fire maybe started in them tonight, please feel free to call. I have no problem giving my telephone number. It is 704-732-2804. Just give me a call, and we'll make ourselves available to come to a small group, a big group, individuals. It doesn't matter. We'll work something out with whoever is interested.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Bill, Nancy, it's awesome to have y'all on the show tonight. I'm sure, you know, anybody that's going to listen to this broadcast, doesn't matter if they're listening to it now or they're going to listen to it in the archives. And what's so awesome about these shows, it stays in archives and people can listen to it all the time. They might be listening to it at work. They might be listening to it on the weekend when they're off from work. And it's awesome. You never know when these shows is going to touch somebody. I mean, you never know. And I'm sure this here is going to teach some Christians what they need to be taught. And I really thank you, Bill and Nancy, for coming on the show and really doing what y'all are doing with teaching this, about the feast and teaching about the Jewish culture and stuff, because, like I said again, we need to know this, and it's very important. But,
Let's do it again.
Well, sure will.
Unity and just the opportunity to share our heart that it's time for us to get excited about the Lord, that it's time to wake up and take our places in the end time army and actually walk in the power and anointing that we have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Praise Him. Praise Him because He can.
I know this has been a real exciting time with these moons coming and the all us Christians are seeing this, and it's getting us thinking, and it's getting the non-believers and the backsliders thinking too. They're seeing these moons, they're like, oh man, the Lord is coming. I need to get myself straightened up, and it's getting people thinking about their lives and what they're doing and the lifestyle they're living in. It's really getting them to think about that. And it's amazing that things like this is going on. But then again, we don't really know when the Lord is going to come. We just have, symbols. We got this and that going on, but we don't really know when He's going to come. And He said He'll come like a thief in the night. So it's when we least expect it is when He's going to pop up. So,
we've still got 6 more days to this feast. It's a 7-day feast, actually 7 days, including today. So let's see if the Lord does anything. You know, like I said, I don't predict anything because of blood moons, but we'll just stand by and see what the Lord does.
Exactly.
Yeah, see what happens. But this is a great time that's going on now, and everybody's really holding on to their seat to see what happens. And I'm one of the ones that's holding on to my seat to see what happens. So, it's all awesome. And I've been seeing Robert bounce around work, and he's talking about the blood moon and preaching to us today. And I was like, amen, brother. And he's really exciting, ain't you, Robert?
Amen. I'm just
get your show far. Take it to church and blow it.
I'm bouncing off the walls right now. I just can't get enough. I cannot get enough of talking about my Lord and trying to point people to Father, because that was the ministry that he demonstrated before us all, pointing people to Father. That's what's important. Amen?
Amen, 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 and amen.
What's so exciting is we know how it all ends. I mean,
we
don't know. We know that Jesus is Lord, that he reigns forever in glorious splendor, and it's awesome.
Yes, amen.
Awesome.
And we're going to be trophies. We're going to be the trophy that he's going to have on display, you know, in that millennium with the trophy. Look at my body. Check them out. These are the ones who came to the knowledge of who they were in me, and that's what's exciting me. Amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, both of you, and thank you for taking y'all's time tonight to come on here and speak with us. It's a real pleasure to have y'all on here, and, you know, maybe some other time we'll have you on here to talk about a few different topics and stuff. And
absolutely. There's a lot of topics. Maybe as these feasts roll around, we can do each one as they come, or any topic you like, just give us a word. We'll check it out, and we'll be available to you at any time.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. And Robert, thank you for being on here too. I ain't gonna forget about you either. You know, thanks for coming on here and help co-hosting, and you're always helping the show out and getting some good people on here. You know, I know some people. You know some people. And we bring some good topics up here, and it's really educating the Christian. The Christian people, and that's what we need to do here on Wednesday nights, is really educate them about, you know, about their walk with the Lord, and that they do need a walk with the Lord and see what's going on biblically and study the Word of God. Instead of letting the Word of God sit in the corner and pick up dust, actually wipe the dust off and pick it up and read it, you know. So That's one of the main things there. But if anybody wants to listen to this show again, just go to Blog Talk and look up The Healing Light and Reverend Stan. It should be right there. Or the easiest way to find this show is just put in Reverend Stan Healing Light Show, and the search engine will take you right there. Or you can put Bill and Nancy Strump and just put that in the search engine too, and it should take you straight to Blog Talk, where you can find this show. So there are so many different ways, and I do have the Healing Light Show on Facebook. Like the show, and the entrance into the show will be right there on the page. Just click on it. You can listen to the whole show. You can listen to many shows that I've done. You can just pick one that you like to listen to. And once you go and listen to this show, just always remember to follow the show, where we'll know how many people is actually listening to the show. It helps us know where we're expanding, if more people is coming into the show, listening to the show. So just let us know where we are. And we really appreciate you just to follow the show, or just like the Healing Life page to let us know what's going on. And at this time, I'd like to say a little closing prayer for everybody. Lord Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for bringing all the listeners here with us tonight. We thank you for this feast. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, for all the things you brought him on this earth to do for us, to save us with his blood and raising again for us on the third day. We thank you for this, Father. We thank you for all the things that you do for us every day that we overlook. We thank you for this. We thank you for the coming of the Messiah. One thing we are looking for, and we thank you for the coming of the Messiah. We thank you for looking after us. We thank you for protecting us and keeping your hands upon us. I ask you to bless this show tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless the people that's listening to this show in Jesus' name. We ask you to heal any sickness that they have on them now in Jesus' name, any foot problems, any chest problems, any eye problems, any ear problems. In Jesus' name, I command them all to be healed now. Father, I just ask you to just touch these people and unite the Holy Spirit in their heart to drag them to the Messiah, Jesus. And where they're really, you know, really looking for the Lord. We thank you for all that you've done for us tonight and bringing these people here on the show. We thank you so much for that. We thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
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 God bless you guys, and God bless everybody there, and I guess we'll get gone and talk to you some other time.
Okay. God bless y'all.
God bless. Bye-bye. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night. And we should have a show coming Saturday morning, and I'll post the show for Saturday morning in the, I'll say Friday or something like that. Well, I'll post it, and y'all can know who's coming on, or if we're just going to have a ministering episode. But it will be coming soon, and you will see the ad for that. But God bless every one of y'all, and you all have a great night.
Good night.
Need you now. should never do. Your innocence gone and your fears coming true. How did you end up like this, feeling so lost? Like your life is in pieces, too broken to